Well, today is the last Sunday of the church's year, isn't it? So technically, we're celebrating All Year's Day today, the last Sunday in the year of the church. And we might be saying, how time flies. Next week, we start the beginning of the church's year, Advent. And today, we celebrate in the church the feast of Christ the King. And we acknowledge from the outset that our King, Christ the King, is far different from earthly kings, far different from earthly rulers, because Christ came to serve and not to be served. But I would imagine that when we think of kings, we think of a powerful, wise, and resilient individual, don't we? Well, those of us who were here last week listened intently to Sister Connie's homily, and you might recall that she talked about the different images of Christ. And one of the things that she said is that we often respond to Christ's invitation based on our impression or what we think about Christ. And she talked about how the three persons who were given talents, how they responded, and how they used these gifts based on their own perceptions and their own level of the belief in the God whom we serve. And as we listen to the readings today, we would recognize that there were various images of God that were presented. For in Ezekiel, he talked about the role of the shepherd, talked about the judge, and he talked about the Savior. And in summary, what Ezekiel was presenting is a God who is the shepherd, who seeks the lost, who seeks the weak and the unjust, and gives us justice. And in Psalm 100, the psalmist reminds us of an omnipotent and yet a merciful and faithful protector of his flock. And as we listen to the second reading, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, talked about a powerful and wise God, and also about the resurrected and exalted Christ, who is Lord of both the church and the entire universe. But today I invite you to focus with me on the gospel reading and imagine for a moment the gathering of all of the nations before Christ. And we acknowledge that there's a contrast of images in this passage, isn't there? And for many, the main image that we have in mind is that of the sheep and the goats. Now, I heard this at Synod, and there's a story that goes something like this. The wife of a bishop came to him and said, you know, you don't have enough purple socks. I'll go out and get you a pair of purple socks. So she went out, she bought him a pair of purple socks. And one sock had a goat on it, the other sock had a sheep on it. So this bishop decided to put on the socks. And he placed the sock with the sheep on the left foot. And he placed the sock with the goat on the right foot. His wife promptly said to him, no, you can't do that. You need to put the sock with the goat on the left foot and the sock with the sheep on the right foot. So as any other obedient and cooperative husband, he placed the sock with the goat on the left foot and he placed the sock with the sheep on the right foot. Then he sat down and immediately crossed his legs. Now, I say this to remind us that in all of us, we probably have a bit of the characteristics, whatever they may be, of the sheep, and the, whatever the characteristics may be of a goat. Because we are called to be faithful. We are not called to perfection, because perfection is a work in progress. And by God's grace, we are all working towards that. But back to the passage, the imageries that are used in the passage, you would recognize are pastoral images. Because the audiences that Jesus addressed were generally from a farming or rural background, from around the countryside where he taught and preached. But I must say that contrasting images are part of our day-to-day experiences. While we were at Diocesan Synod over the last 2 days, listening to the good news about what is happening in the diocese and beyond, suddenly we heard about the atrocities in Egypt. And for those of you who have been following it up, over 300 people lost their lives. And this is just one example of the violence and the harm to innocent people all around us. And we are not exempt. If we look around, there's so much that's happening around us that prey on vulnerable individuals. And in one of our missional moments, and our missional moments are times for people to share ministry successes, we heard about the establishment of a safe home for youth who have identified as LGBTQ in the Minden area. And at the same time, we heard accounts of the alarming statistics where people who have identified themselves as LGBTQ are affected by lack of self-esteem and the feeling of isolation. But today, in all of this, we celebrate Christ as King as we look at the requirements for citizenship, in the kingdom of God. The Christian obligation is faithfulness. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And if we are faithful, these become habits. They become part of our rhythm of life. They become second nature. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? I must say, though, that when we look around our affluent society, we are aware that there are many who lack food and the basic necessities of life. And although we meet people in need on a daily basis, that reality is brought squarely before us on the first Tuesday of every month, as those in need come here to the church to get a food voucher and a TTC token. And we are reminded of the reality of hunger. We are reminded of the reality of lack of affordable housing. We are reminded of the reality of loneliness in our communities. And according to the gospel reading in Matthew, those who lack food bear the image of Christ Jesus himself. Lord, when was it we saw you hungry? And Jesus answered, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. So the challenge for us today, for each and every one of us today, can we make room in our hearts and room in our budget to help those in need? And I must say they go together, because faith without works, we know the rest of it. Let us make room in our hearts and room in our budgets? And who are the least? Who are the least that we are talking about? Well, at Synod, we also heard about other outreach programs which provide support, food, companionship, and a listening ear to those in need. And one idea that resonated with quite a few of us at Synod was the idea of placing a food cupboard outside the church. Now, we are partly there. The second Sunday of every month, we collect non-perishable items for distribution. But what if St. George and Young decided to place a cupboard, a food cupboard, right at the corner of Young and Churchill, so that people can drop off food items there and those in need can just take them when they needed it? I'm not necessarily promoting this, but it's an idea that we're throwing out for careful prayer, reflection, and potential action. Perhaps this is something that's worth a closer look for us here at St. George on Young.
So tell me, if you had a choice to be a sheep or a goat, which one would you choose?
Well, my guess is that no one would want to be a goat as described by Jesus in the gospel passage. The goats are herded to the left, where the Son of Man declares to them from the heavenly throne, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Well, we are probably thinking that we are sheep. Aren't we thinking that way? But perhaps we are feeling more like goats, aren't we? I have to question myself. When last did I stop to give some change to someone asking for money on the street? When last have I stopped and taken someone to Tim Hortons for a coffee, or to Burger King for a burger, someone who was really hungry? When last have I done that? I have to ask myself, when last have I made a personal visit, not a pastoral visit, to someone who is ill in hospital or in the home? When last have I done that? And I have to ask myself, and I hope you are as well, when last have I visited someone in prison? Someone who just needs someone, an ear to listen and a shoulder to lean on. Well, we don't have to feel guilty about this. There's hope for each and every one of us, for we are all works in progress. But just as God can work miracles in others, he can turn us into the people he would like us to be. For the good news is that we are all part of God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is different from earthly kingdoms. And that is great news, because history informs us that kingdoms built on power and wealth exist for a limited period of time, and we can name them off. But we are assured that only God's kingdom will last forever. So today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King and his victory over death. So allow me to share a few closing thoughts with you. Christ the King is our sovereign ruler, the God of the universe. But as we reflect on the Matthew passage today, we must be clear that the purpose is not to give an exact description of how the last judgment will take place, but rather it is intended to give us some ideas about how to live today. Secondly, our habits, both good and bad, become routine. They become part of our rhythm of life. And we must be determined to live for some purpose. I once heard this quote, and I don't know to whom it's attributed, that service to humanity is the price that we pay for our space on earth. And I must say, it reminds us that we are here for a specific purpose for which God has created us. Whether it is to bring joy to others, to help others by sharing what we have, or to give hope to the lost and love to the lonely. The gospel is generally regarded as a story of judgment. But could we look at it slightly differently, as a story of justice? Not as punishment to those who do wrong, but rather as a remedy to those who have been wronged. For all lawful and faithful leaders would want to protect their people, won't they? And so Christ the King, Christ our King, wants to have us around him, next to him, and wants to redeem us. And Christ's love is spread all around, because love is something that we do. For in the end, the faithful are those who serve Christ the King by ministering to those who are poor, to those who are hungry, to those who are naked, and to those who are marginalized. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, I hope that the readings for today and the thoughts we've shared may inspire us to spread the good news through our loving words and deeds, as we share in God's love to those in need. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for inspiring us with your word today. We pray that we would be motivated, that we would not seek a place of honor. We would not be condescending in any way. We may be appreciative of the gifts with which we've been blessed. And as citizens of your kingdom, love and share. Father, we thank you for each and everyone gathered here today. And as we continue to worship, we pray that you would continue to focus on the mission of this parish and the work that's ahead of us. And may we be faithful to give you all of the honor and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.